Namaskaram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are in chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarani. If you have been following this series, we have been in chapter 7 for quite some time now, because in this chapter, Bhagwan has so beautifully given so many principles and directives for us to follow. This is a chapter with a difference, because for once the bhakta is not asking any question. Even though this is Sandeha Nivarani, the series of articles that Bhagwan wrote for Sanatana Sarathi, wherein he as a bhakta questioned and he as Bhagwan answered. But in this chapter, the bhakta says, I don't have any questions, I don't have any doubts. Just only tell me everything that I need to do so that I become close to you. And Bhagwan goes on enumerating one after one, simple, profound, straight, as well as complex when you think deep. Such is the nature of these tenets that Bhagwan has given. And Swami also mentions that don't take these principles lightly, dwell on them, think through them. And that is what we have been doing in the last few episodes. We have been listening and contemplating on each of these principles that Bhagwan has given. So we had broken down these into different segments, and today we'll continue with the fourth segment of chapter 7. So let's listen to what Bhagwan has written from points number 31 to point number 41, and then we will take up for discussion point number 37 today.
31. Try as far as possible within your means to satisfy the needs of the poor, who are really Daridra Narayana. Share with them whatever food you have and make them happy. 32. Whatever you feel should not be done to you by others. Avoid doing such things to others. 33. For the faults and sins committed in ignorance, sincerely repent from your heart and try not to repeat the faults and sins again. Pray to God to bless you with the strength and the courage needed for you to do this. 34. Do not allow anything to come near you, which will destroy your eagerness and enthusiasm for God. Lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man. 35. Yield not to cowardice. Hold on to Ananda. 36. Do not get welled up when people praise you. Do not feel dejected when people blame you. 37. If among your friends anyone hates another and starts a quarrel, do not attempt to inflame them more. On the other hand, try to ensure that they come together with love. 38. Do not search for others' faults. Instead, search for your own mistakes yourself and throw them away. It is enough if you search and discover one fault of yours. That is better than discovering 10 faults in others. 39. Even if you cannot or will not do any punya or good deed, do not conceive or carry out any papa or bad deed. This is best. 40. Whatever people may say about the faults that you know are not in you, do not feel for it. As for the faults that are in you, try to correct them yourself, even before others point them out to you. Do not harbor anger or bitterness against persons who point out your faults. Do not retort, pointing out the faults of those persons themselves, but show your gratitude to them. Instead, if you try to discover their faults, that would be a greater mistake on your part. It is good for you to know your faults. It is no good to search the faults of those who pointed out your mistakes. This would be of no use. 41. Whenever you get a little leisure, do not spend it in talking about all and sundry, but utilize it in meditating on God, or it is good to render service to others.
31 to 41. So if you go to point number 37, Swami is saying, if among your friends anyone hates another and starts a quarrel, do not attempt to inflame them more. On the other hand, try to ensure that they come together with love. So what Bhagavan is saying is, where there is hatred, so love. Where there is enmity, so unity. Where there is unpleasantness, so fragrance. If we find anything negative in the environment around us, we have to try to fill it with positivity. Someone said, if having a soul means being able to feel love, loyalty and gratitude, then animals are better off than a lot of humans. Because sometimes these feelings of gratitude, these feelings of love and loyalty are difficult to find among human beings. And human beings are supposed to be the most evolved species on earth. And that is the reason why Bhagavan used to always say, keep telling yourself that I am not animal, I am man. I am not animal, I am man. I am someone with a soul, I am someone with a heart. And a heart is a heart only when it can feel for the other, it can feel that love. And Swami is telling, try to ensure that all those in your vicinity who are not in love, who are not in an atmosphere of togetherness and amity, try to reduce their negativity and do it through the power of love. I'm reminded of Nelson Mandela. He once said, no one is born hating another person. When someone is born, he is not wired to hate another person. And that is the reason why you will find that innocent, pure children, they don't have any distinctions, they don't have any prejudices, they have no problem. The little child will go and play with the dog, it will go and play with a child, no matter that child is from other region, other color, other language, other culture, it does not matter. Because when we are born that pure. We are not born with a tendency to hate another person. We are born with a tendency to mix with everyone. We are born with a tendency to be normal and nice with anyone. So that's what Mr. Mandela said. No one is born hating another person. People must learn to hate. And then he says, if they can learn to hate, then they can be taught to love also, isn't it? In fact, to teach them to love is so easy because love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. So this is what Swami is telling. If you see anywhere opposite of love, try to ensure that they come back to love. And this is a process much easier. It is easier to make people love each other than create hatred among them, than create dissension among them. That needs time, energy, tactics, maneuvering to enable people to like each other is easy. And this is what the planet needs. Dalai Lama once said, the planet does not need more successful people. We have enough successful people, enough big minds and brains. The planet does not need more successful people. It desperately needs more peacemakers, more storytellers, more healers, more restorers, and more lovers of all kinds. More lovers of all kinds. Lovers who can love anyone, anybody, anything. Lovers who can mend fences. Lovers who can build bridges. Lovers who can ensure that people live as brothers and sisters. The planet needs more such kind of people. We have enough people who are brilliant when it comes to their intellectual capabilities and their rational thinking. But what the earth needs more is people who can just encourage and kindle that love which is there in every heart. Swami Vivekananda gave 15 laws of life. And the first law of life was this. Love is the law of life. All love is expansion. All selfishness is contraction. That is what Swami Vivekananda said. It was Bhagwan who through Vivekananda hundreds years ago gave this message to mankind. Swami always says love is expansion, contraction is death. And this is what Swami Vivekananda had told. All love is expansion, all selfishness is contraction. Love is therefore the only law of life. He who loves, lives. He who is just selfish is dying. Therefore love for love's sake, because it is the law of life. Just as you breathe to live, that is the law of life. In fact, someone said, if you want to forget something or someone, then never hate it. Never hate that person or hate that incident or hate that thing, because if you hate, then that hatred gets engraved on your heart. And you actually want to get rid of it. If you want to get rid of it, the easiest thing to do is not hate it. Because if you hate it, then it gets more engraved in your heart. If you want to forget, just don't hate. Just let it go. Eckhart Tolle, one of the beautiful minds who's guided a lot of people on the spiritual path, he said, you cannot transform yourself and you certainly cannot transform another person. All you can do is to create a space for transformation to happen. You can create a space for transformation to happen, for grace and love to enter. And that is what Swami is telling. You ensure that love enters where there is hatred between friends and between near and dear ones. Create that space for transformation. If we create that space, if we create that ambience, then love will automatically sprout, because love is there, so much a part of us, so much a part of our nature, so much a part of our being. Swami says the first step is to understand the link that connects any two individuals. And the link that connects any two individuals is nothing but love. It is on the basis of love that the entire society is knit. What is a country? Swami says, country is not just the land, but the society. It is the society that makes a country or a nation. Vyashti, Samashti, Shrishti, Parameshti. This is how Bhagwan used to talk about this cosmic connection. And so Swami is telling what the nation is. Nation is nothing but it is just society. And what is society? Society is individuals. And what are individuals? Individuals are those who are connected with love. In the Gita, it is said, Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam. Means, you should not harbor hatred towards anyone. You should not harbor any ill feeling towards anyone. That is what Gita says. By nourishing good feelings in the heart, you can transform yourself from good to bad, Swami says. And this is called samskara. This is what is called refinement. It is like converting paddy into rice to make the grain fit for preparing food. And how can you do it? Swami says the only way you can do it is through love. Love is the only weapon by which you can attain godliness and make your life purposeful. Purposeful not only for yourself but for everyone around. Because where there is love, there is peace. Swami is saying, remove all that which is not peace. And how can you remove all that which is not peace? Only through love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is non-violence. The great Sri Rabindranath Tagore once said, love is the only reality and it is not a mere sentiment. It is the ultimate truth that lies at the heart of creation. It is the ultimate truth that lies at the heart of creation. He who wants to do good knocks at the gate, but he who loves finds the gate open. Another very beautiful thought from the pen of the great poet Rabindranath Tagore ji. If you want to do good, you are knocking at the gate, but if you are loving, you will find the gates open. And that is what Swami was telling. Constantly, if you read any of his discourses, Swami is telling you will not find peace outside in a shop. Outside you will only find pieces. One bereft of love cannot attain peace. Don't be perturbed, Swami said, if someone comes and shouts at you, vents out his anger on you. Offer your salutations to him. Remain calm, remain composed, even to your enemy. Can you say, hello, hello brother, how are you? Swami says, if you show that love, then the other person also will have to reciprocate in the same manner, if not today, tomorrow. But on the other hand, if you constantly harbor the feeling that you are my enemy and you develop more hatred, then all these negativity that is oozing out of you will come back to you in the form of reaction, deflection, resound, and you will keep wallowing in the negativity that will keep coming back at you. Swami says you cannot get the belch of an pineapple when you eat a mango, isn't it? The smell of your belch depends on the fruit you have consumed. Similarly, you will experience only love when your heart is filled with love. Only when you give out love will you experience love. Most of the time we want love, we want to experience love, but we are not able to love the way we would want others to love us. So that to get rid of hatred, Swami is telling, simply practice love. Once Buddha set out to seek alms and he was approaching a village where there were a number of devotees of Lord Buddha. And at that time some wicked persons confronted Lord Buddha on the way and they abused Buddha in various ways. And Buddha sat on a rock and he did not proceed from that village. And the people continued to abuse Buddha, calling him different names and insulting his way of life. And Buddha just was still and he was listening to everything. No comments. Finally, Buddha said, "Dear children, what is the pleasure you derive from abusing me?" And all those people continued their negativity. They continued to insult Buddha in worse terms. But Buddha said, "If abusing me gives you pleasure, go on, enjoy yourself. There is no problem. I have no problem." So finally, after some time, they were exhausted by their abuse. There's nothing more they wanted to say to Buddha, because everything they wanted to complain, everything they wanted to say to ridicule him was done. And finally Buddha said, "Do you know why I stayed here all this time? Because if I had gone to the other village, in that village there are many devotees of mine. And if you had abused me there, all those people, they would not have spared you. They would have definitely dealt with you very, very severely. If in that village you would have done what you have done now, you would not have been saved. To protect you from that calamity, I just continued to be here and I put up with all your abuse. I gave you a free rein so that you can do whatever you want. Because if it makes you happy, I have no problem. See, there are a lot of things people do to make others happy. They spend a lot of money, buy things, struggle to make someone happy. But I am able to make you happy by just allowing you to abuse me. And without spending any money, without taking any trouble, I'm giving you so much pleasure. What a great day for me. I've given you so much happiness. You have derived so much joy by abusing me. I am the cause of your joy. I have given you so much satisfaction. I am very happy. I mean, people do so many things. They build chaul trees, they dig wells, they do so many things to make people happy. They buy expensive gifts. The different people do different things to make other people happy. But I was able to give you so much satisfaction just by accepting and just by listening to all that you had to say about me. And if this is what is giving you joy, I have no problem." So this is one way Swami says you can deal with negativity. Just shake it off. Laugh it off. Shake it off. One of the persons asked Buddha, "How can Buddha be so calm?" So Buddha said, "Look, child, a beggar comes to your house asking for alms. He says, 'Oh, blessed mother, give me some food.' What will you do? You go inside and you come with some food. Now, the beggar says, 'No, no, this is not what I was asking for. This is not the alms that I was looking for. I'm not going to accept this.' Then what will you do?" Then that person said, "I will just keep back the offering. I will take it back." Buddha said, "It's the same thing that I am doing. all these people, they are offering me this alms of the abuse. I did not ask for this, but they are just giving it. Now, if I don't take, what will happen? Just like you had taken the food back, same thing will happen now. All these abuse, they will not touch me because I didn't ask for it. You're just giving and I don't want it. So it will either fall down or it will go back to you. That's all. It does not affect me. Swami says if a registered letter is addressed to someone and if that person declines to receive it, the postal department will deliver it back to the sender. Similarly, if you criticize someone or hate somebody, if the other person remains unaffected and unperturbed, then the criticism and hatred comes back. In fact, if someone criticizes you and if you don't react, that person after some time will get tired of doing that. He'll have no joy in doing that. But if he does that and you react, then that gives that other person more energy to do the negativity. And this is what Swami is telling. We should refrain from doing. If there are two people where there is negativity between them, what you should try to do is not inflame this negativity. You should try and see that their negativity is declined. If you try to increase the hatred, Swami says hatred and jealousy, they will do more harm to the person who entertains these feelings than to those towards whom it is expressed. Now, if you are having hatred, then the damage that it does to you is much more than the damage it does to the person whom you hate. And this is, I think, a very, very powerful lesson, a powerful tenet for us to always remember. See, whenever we cultivate hatred, we cultivate negativity, or we have these feelings which are not holy, what is happening is we are actually inviting more negativity towards us because we are harboring these feelings. A man filled with jealousy and hatred, Swami says, is like a blind man. He cannot see the sun. However bright the sun may be, he will not be able to see because he is blind. You are blind with hatred. The light of the sun will not be visible to you. If you have hatred, if you have jealousy, Swami says, even if there is God's grace, it will not come near you. And that is the reason why wherever we see hatred, we see negativity, we see something which is not love, we, instead of complaining about it, instead of creating more negativity, we have to see how we can increase the love quotient in that place. That is the only way. Love is the solution to all the problems of the world. That is what Leo Tolstoy, the great story writer, also had said. Let me share with you an incident that was written by a Radio Sai listener many years ago. One Mr. Shivakumar had sent this personal experience to us. He was working in a leading bank in the Middle East, and there were many occasions when he had to go to the country's government relations cell, which is part of the human resource department, for processing his wife's or his documents like residence card, visa, etc. He was an Indian and he was serving in this Middle East countries, and so there were many times when he had to go to this government relations cell. And every time he went to this cell, it was an experience which can be described as anything but pleasant. It was never a welcome experience. Though he had worked in different banks in a couple of countries, but the lackadaisical behavior of the manager handling this particular cell, the government relations cell, was something very abominable. And he always dreaded going to this person to get these documents done, but these are documents that you need, these are documents that are indispensable, and many times you don't have a choice. The officer there at the government relations cell, he used to always treat expatriates like Mr. Shivakumar, who was an Indian, with disdain and with a really blatant lack of respect. Somehow he was, that person was very callous towards those who were expatriates. And so Shivakumar went and he had to get his work done. And whenever he went, he would always see that this officer would see through him and always make such foreigners wait for longer than normal. In fact, it became usual, a ritual for foreign citizens like Mr. Shivakumar to stand for quite some time by that person's desk and hoping that, you know, he will glance his way. And sometimes even if they were successful in that, in getting in attention after much waiting, his words and his gestures and his mannerisms would be so insulting that it would be a very, very unpleasant, disgusting experience. But people were used to it. All the foreigners knew, all the expatriates knew this is what they have to go through. And every time they had to go to this person for some documents, then, you know, as he was saying, it was always a very pre-irritated moment, because you are already pre-irritated, because you're going to have a very, very unpleasant time, and you're just preparing yourself for it. And there came a time once when he had to go for his exit visa, and he was thinking about how he's going to manage this encounter. It was going to be a harrowing experience, he knew. And he actually virtually dragged himself to that office that morning, because you don't want to go to a space where you're not welcome and where you're insulted, but then you have no choice. So he reached that person's cabin, and when he went there, he saw that that officer was on a phone call, and so he had to wait, and so that waiting game began, and his patience was being tested. And it was at this time, you know, when he was going through this difficult experience, that is when Mr. Shivakumar recollected a talk that he had heard on Radio Sai. It was given by a former student of Bhagwan's University, where this boy was narrating how his father had once asked him to get his passbook updated in a local post office. And this boy saw that the postman there was very rude and very uncooperative with anyone. And the boy was thinking how to get his work done, and he suddenly remembered Bhagwan's beautiful words, wherein Swami had said that there is God in everyone. Try to see me in everyone. Try to fill yourself with love. Love is the all-powerful force of the universe. Love is the summum bonum of the universe. All those thoughts flooded his mind, and so he thought, okay, let me do this experiment. And he told himself that I am going to see Swami in that postman. I am going to see Bhagwan in that person. And he prayed to Swami to help him through that situation, because he, just like Mr. Shivakumar, he did not want to be insulted, he did not want to be treated in a disrespectful manner. And as he was visualizing Swami in that person, this boy says that so unexpectedly, the postman, that post officer, he became so nice to him, and he was very polite. And whatever work he had to get done, the passbook updation, it all happened very smoothly. And generally this whole process would take for a week when he was prepared that, you know, okay, because you will go one day and he will say, no, you come tomorrow. Then he'll say, come afternoon. No, I have this work. So this is something that he was already sort of ready to undergo. But what would have taken 7 days just happened in 7 minutes. It was a miracle for this boy. And so Mr. Shivakumar remembered this incident, which was narrated by this boy on Radio Sai, and he thought, okay, why can't I do this? And Mr. Shivakumar said to himself, I will see Swami in this manager, in this officer, in this government relations cell, and let's see what happens. And he started praying to Swami, and he started believing in this power of love, and he decided with resolve to treat that manager as if Swami is sitting there. He filled with heart, his heart with love, and he looked at that manager with all love, and he earnestly prayed to Swami, Swami, please, there should be no negativity, Swami. I am going to see you in that person, so I am going to love him. I'm not going to have anything that is not love. And with this overwhelming feeling of love in his heart, he went forward to the manager, and eventually the manager completed the call he was busy with. And when Shivakumar entered the cabin, the manager looked at Shivakumar and he wished him. It had never happened. The manager actually warmly wishing an expatriate, a foreigner. And Shivakumar felt, wow, thank you, Swami. This had never happened. You are already at work, Swami. And not just that, the manager told him, why don't you come take a seat? He offered a seat. I mean, those were absolutely unprecedented things, unthinkable. He would never treat foreigners with so much of politeness and gentleness. In the past 1 year, so many times Mr. Shivakumar had come and never he was treated this way. The manager was so nice. He told to take a seat. And then he asked, okay, what is the problem? How can I help you? And now Mr. Shivakumar said, you know, I need exit visas for myself and my wife. And so he said, okay, I will do that. There is no problem. Do you have these papers? And so Mr. Shivakumar handed the papers he had got. The manager very patiently went through the papers and then he said, no, do you have this document? Because this other document is very important. And that is when Mr. Shivakumar thought, oh my God, that is the one document which I've forgotten to get. And he thought, oh God, it's now going to go down the drain. You know, I have not got this document. He's been so nice to me, but I have made this lapse. And he was wondering what would happen now, you know. Will this person just now get angry? And will this person now, you know, what will it tell him? Don't come to me again or don't come to me for next 10 days. So what is he going to say? And he just said that, sorry, you know, I could not bring this document. So the manager said, okay, that's no problem. That's no problem. You do one thing. You just bring that paper on Saturday. And you will get your visa. Just don't worry. It will just take one more day. That's all. You've not got the paper today. There is no problem. And this was so, so surprising for Mr. Shivakumar. He said, I never ever thought that this conscious attempt to see Swami in a person. Till now, he had always seen that person as a very rude person, as a displeasing person, as a person who harbor hatred. That's what Swami is saying. Where there is hatred, show love. And this is what Mr. Shivakumar tried. It was his first serious attempt to see Swami in that other person. And he says, in fact, after some time I forgot in my resolve to see Swami, but Swami did not forget. Swami continued to send love to me through the manager. In fact, after he came out of the cabin, only he realized that, my God, this is an experience which had Swami written all over it. And that was such a revealing moment for Mr. Shivakumar. And he says, what could have been a very irksome interaction became such a positive, warm meeting. And he says, when I think of it again, I am reassured that it isn't a complicated, long, drawn-out conversation we need to have with Swami when we are in problems. We just have to have a moment of complete faith and sincere prayer to Swami and see Swami and feel Swami and share His love and see His love. We need to believe in the power of His love. Believe that we too can radiate that love. And then we can see miracles happening. Because the power of God and the power of love are synonymous. If there is nothing impossible for God, there is nothing impossible for pure love too. And this is a real life experience of Mr. Shivakumar. And I think this is something that all of us perhaps have experimented sometime or the other. And if we have not, this is definitely an experiment worth doing. This is something we should do, and in fact we should write our own books of my experiments with pure love, and it would be such a beautiful volume for us to read whenever we are down. Such a beautiful volume to hand it down to our children, to our grandchildren. If we can teach them that you need power only when you want to do something harmful. Otherwise, love is enough to get everything else done. This is what Charlie Chaplin said. You can get anything done through love. Only if you want to hurt people, you need power. But to love people, you don't need power. To love people, you need nothing. And in fact, it is love that everyone is searching for. There is no one whom any of us have come across who has not become a better person through love. Everybody definitely becomes their best self when they are touched with love, when they are filled with love, when love begins to function in their heart. Someone said, I saw that you were perfect and so I loved you. And then I saw that you were not perfect. And so, I loved you even more. Isn't that beautiful? It's very easy to love a flower. Can we love a leaf also? It is very easy to love that which is beautiful. But that is very ordinary. It is ordinary to love the beautiful, in fact. Anybody will love the beautiful. But what is beautiful is to love the ordinary. Anyone will love the rose. But can we love that simple leaf? If you look at Bhagwan's life, he loved the ordinary. He loved you and me. He loved that Konamma who used to bring water for him. He loved that buffalo who served him in the hill station when Bhagwan was there for a few days. He loved that Rama Brahmam who had nothing with him. Everything he had lost. You take Bhagwan's life, the number of simple people that he has touched when he went village to village in the states of Andhra, Tamil Nadu, Kerala. Or every time he came out for darshan, the number of people he touched and the number of people he has saved. None of us are really that well endowed or something that we can do something for the Lord. We are so ordinary people. We did not have anything to be really proud of or boast of. But Swami loved us, and because He loved us, we were made, remade, recreated. And that's what Swami says. yes, this is what we should do, but sometimes when you love, there could be some hard things that perhaps we might have to undergo. But that is the whole process, that is the joy of love. Because if you love the rose, then there are thorns too that you have to encounter. A life with love will have some thorns, but a life without love will have no roses. Do we want a life without roses? We all want roses in our life. So it's okay, there will be a few thorns too. But when we look back upon our life, it is these moments that will stand out. The moments then where we have really loved. These are the moments when we have really lived. The moments when we have done things in a spirit of love. For example, if there are two friends, A and B, maybe they are colleagues in the office, and you come to know something about A, and you go and tell B that, you know what, this is what A was saying about you. A was telling these things which are not so nice, and B feels, yeah, I know, A is always negative about me, A is always spreading these things about me, A is not nice. Then you go to B, and then you come to A, and then you say, you know what, A, B was saying these things about you. B said that, yeah, you are all the time thinking negative about him. You are all the time saying these things which are not in good taste. So if you go to A and tell things about B, which is only increasing the negativity in B, if you go to B and tell things about A, which only increases the enmity and increases the disharmony between them, then what is going to happen to them is a different story. But what will happen to you is this negativity will come back to you. And that is what Swami is telling. When you see two people, when you see two people where there is enmity, can you pour love there? Can you guide them? Just like how Buddha guided, just like how Swami does not see our faults and does not see any distinction. In the Satyasai organization, we love everyone, no matter the color, religion, background, status. Someone said, maybe we cannot get to where we want to get to unless we love people who are really hard for us to love. As I said, it is very easy to love that which is beautiful. But can we love the ordinary? It is beautiful to love the ordinary. In fact, that is the difference between God and man. Because someone asked God, what is the difference between your love and my love? And God said, a bird in the sky is my love, and the bird in the cage is your love. Our love is constricted, our love is limited, our love is only for a few people. We love this person, we don't like this person. But God's love is like a bird in the sky. God's love is that. Is what is expansion. That Swami Vivekananda said, and that is what we saw in Bhagwan's life. Love is not only something you feel, love has to be something you do. We will never meet a person who did not need love in their life. Because love is the common fiber of life. It is that flame that heats our soul, it energizes our spirit, and it supplies energy to our life. Someone said there are four questions of value in life. What is sacred? Of what is the spirit made of? What is worth living for? And what is worth dying for? And the answer to all of them is love. Love is the only thing that is sacred. Love is what spirit is made of. Love is what is worth living for. And love is what is worth dying for. And this is what Bhagwan constantly used to tell us. I mean, I don't think there is any discourse of Bhagwan where he has not mentioned about love, not insisted about creating this flame of love in our lives. And this is what Bhagwan said. The whole universe is a manifestation of Brahman. As a human being, you have come from Narayana and you are divine. When you are doing namaskar, when you are doing Sai Ram, or when you are doing pranam with folded hands to another person, you know what you are doing? You are offering the five karmendriyas and five gyanendriyas, five organs of action, five organs of perception to the divine that is present in the other person, because you are seeing only divine in the other person. And you can love only if you see God in the other person. Only then can you love that person unconditionally. If I look at that person with all his frailties and all his likes and dislikes and prejudices and his strengths and weaknesses, then I will not be able to love. I will be able to love only if I see that person as a spark of the divine. If I see only Swami in that other person, then I can love with all my heart. And that is the beautiful experiment that we should do. And this is what we should do, and we should encourage others to do. If there are two people who are not in harmony, this is what we should be able to inculcate in that environment and ensure that there is amity and there is harmony, and they come back together in an atmosphere of togetherness, camaraderie, of warmth and affection. Because only when there is this purity and this unity will divinity blossom. A great saint very beautifully said, if I go into the space in myself which is love, and you go into that space within yourself which is love, then we are together in love. Then you and I are truly in love. That is the state of being love. That is the entrance to oneness. When I from a space of love and you from a space of love interact, that is unity. That is the state of being in true love. When we do namaste, this is what we say: I honor the place in you where the entire universe resides. I honor that light, that love, that truth, that beauty, that peace within you. Because it is the same that is within me, that life, that love, that light, that truth, that beauty and that peace is within me. I am sharing these things with you, and in this manner we are united, we are one, we are same, because it is the same light, love, truth, beauty and peace that is there in each one of us. In fact, when all our desires are distilled, what will be left is only this: love and happiness. So this is what Bhagwan is telling in this point number 37 of Sandhya Nivarani, chapter 7. If among your friends anyone hates another and starts a quarrel, do not attempt to inflame them more. On the other hand, try to ensure that they come together with love. True love is pure, free from pride, full of bliss, Swami says. A friend once said, work as if you do not need the money, love as if no one has ever made you suffer, dance as if no one is watching you, sing as if the whole world is cheering you. Then you will live as if you are in paradise. So we should love as if no one has ever made us suffer, because everybody is divine, and whatever has happened, happened because it was meant to happen for our good. If we love in this manner, we will always be young, because a heart that loves is forever young. The secret to living well and living longer, someone said, is to eat half, walk double, laugh triple, and love without measure. In fact, this is a Tibetan proverb. Eat half, walk double, laugh triple, and love without measure. That is what Bhagwan wants us to do. So much to say, never have a castrol face. Always be smiling, because when we meet each other and we greet each other with a smile, that is the beginning of love. And that is how our life should be spent. Every day of our life should begin with that feeling of seeing the love in the other person. Start the day with love, fill the day with love, spend the day with love. And if we can end the day with such a beautiful sentiment, then automatically we will find God. We will experience God. We will be enveloped in the grace of God. So dear listeners, this is what Bhagwan is emphasizing again and again. Create that atmosphere of love wherever you see anything that is not love. Let us see how we can do this in our lives, in our little ways, and relish the beauty and the sublimity of life. Let us relish the true joy of life. Let us relish the true beauty of being on earth. Let us leave the earth every day a better place by ensuring that we have somewhere started another chain of love. So dear listeners, we'll continue this in the coming episodes of Vaini Satsang. There are many more points in chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini, and we pray to Swami that He guides us as we go through this beautiful text that Bhagwan has so lovingly given us. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us through this segment and through this beautiful satsang. It's always a joy to ruminate on Bhagwan's teachings, and especially His writings. These have come from His heart, straight, with no interpretation. They are as direct as it can be, straight from the divine. It's a joy to share these with you. So if you have any queries, any comments, anything, please feel free to share. If you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to bishu@radiosai.org. Otherwise, you can send your queries to listener@radiosai.org. We look forward to your participation and your joining us in this beautiful journey of discovering the nectar of His message. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.